Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And this day is about the 18th of March, an important day for peace in Europe, because this was the day in 1994 when America made peace in Bosnia, at least a first step to peace, but a very important peace. And again, it was America that made peace at that time. Unfortunately, all our European efforts to somehow bring or avoid a further escalation of the Bosnian War in 92, 93, 94, they failed. And thanks, America. It was again America which made it possible to form an alliance between the two basically American allies, which unfortunately had a tragic war in a war, because inside the whole confrontation between the Serbs and the non-Serbs in Bosnia, it was also then the war between Croatia and the Muslim Bosnians, the Bosniaks. And unfortunately, this was a very tragic war, mainly in the south, in the southwest of Bosnia, around the famous city of Mostar. And even this famous bridge, which many of you might remember, maybe already had the possibility to visit Mostar, I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful city, and the mosque is now reconstructed, and it's a major touristic asset of significance. You have to see it. It's a beautiful town, the stone bridge. It was destroyed. And it was destroyed in the confrontation between two American allies, between the Croatians and the Bosniaks. And that was a tragedy. So I would like to congratulate America for this achievement, 18th of March. And I'm, you know, I'm very often saying thanks, America, for the peace in Europe. And again, it was like this. But I have to say that unfortunately, the absence of America in 93 was very remarkable and negative, because this is exactly what happens when a new president comes in. At that time, Bill Clinton, he came in relatively without any experience on foreign policy, in the middle of a very big escalation already happening in Croatia, in Bosnia. And then, you know, the first reflex of an American president is always to leave Europe to the Europeans. It sounds very nice. It sounds nice. You know, I'm a European. I'm from Austria. Leaving Europe to the European, I think 90% of the Europeans would agree. And 90% of the Americans would agree. 100% of the Russians would agree. Unfortunately, it's a recipe for genocide. And it's a recipe for war. And exactly, even between, in principle, allied groups and nations, that can lead to such a tragic escalation. And many people died because of it. Let me explain it how it happened. Because in the beginning, the Croatians and the Bosnians in Bosnia, they were allies. And they were both voting for independence in the 1st of March, 92. It is about, also from the population group, just to explain, it's about 1.5 million Bosnians. That means it's unfortunately along the religious lines how people identify in Bosnia, mostly. So it's 1.5 of the Bosnian Muslims, it's 500,000 Croats, and it's 1 million of the Bosnian Serbs. More or less, this is the basic pattern of the population, which to this day is about the same relation, even when in the war more than 200,000 people died. And what a disaster. And the disaster happened as well, obviously, because of this toxic Serbian narrative to want the land and to build the land not according to the where the population live, but to do it physically with the removal, and if it's necessary, with genocide, to expel the people to fit the kind of Greater Serbia project. But also on the Croatian side, there were a lot of people who thought it's much better to make land swaps. That was the basic idea, that it would be possible And I will now come to explain the rather complicated geography. If you see, you know, if you see Bosnia like a pumping heart, like the heart of the Balkans, it's probably the best way to see Bosnia. It has the shape of a heart. And then you have, unfortunately, you know, through history, and this is all over the Balkans. But in Bosnia, it's the most extreme cases. Everybody lives everywhere. And it was at least, you know, it was always conflict. You know, there was never too much harmony. I would not say that there any time was harmony. But, you know, when the Yugoslavia obviously broke up, a lot of these land swappers and diplomatic monopolists, and they thought it wisely to somehow cut pieces out of this Bosnian Balkan heart. And, you know, it was quite logical for them, because people who do this kind of land swapping, reorganization of territory, and are in this reckless game, they normally work with the logic, where are people of my majority, where the territory seems defensible, and how we can exchange population to make it according to geographic lines fitting to my own country. And here we have on the west, on the Adriatic side, obviously Croatia. On the east, we have Serbia. And it's quite logical that the strongmen of both countries, they thought it wisely to divide that country basically in two in their reality, in their wish world. And they wanted to do that. There's often talk about the several meetings between them where they discussed exactly that. There's the famous story about, you know, on a paper, a napkin to somehow draw maps. Yeah, I don't know if that really was happening. And, you know, these conversations often happened, you know, there's no witnesses on that one. And they have not physically kept the napkin, to my best knowledge. But it's quite logically that the strongmen, when there's nobody to rein them in, when there's no America to really have also the physical force and the power projection, then this kind of violent plans, and they're always violent, because it's ultimately meaning that whole villages, parts of cities, yeah, the population to chase away, if they don't want, and who really wants to leave in the house he built and invested for generations behind. Nobody wants that. And then you have to chase them away, and then in the process a lot of people get killed. And then you call it collateral damage. You know, obviously in history, in the 19th century, and also after World War II, World War One, and in World War II, there was a lot of this done. But I'm not talking about the year 1992, 1993, 1994. This is just recently in Europe, in the middle. It's a big disaster. So anyhow, what happened? Yes, and then America was back because Bill Clinton took a little bit of learning time. He needed about 2 years to understand that he is the president of the free world and that all the problems in the world concern him. He learned that very difficultly because, you know, it was a painful year. And in between, unfortunately, the president of Croatia, he was playing a very negative role in that one. He's normally seen, obviously, as somebody who deserves support and who was supported. And never forget, Croatia was strongly supported by America in the independence war in 91. But he took that somehow as a license to do his own policy in Bosnia. And unfortunately, the brutality also of our Croatian friends, this was outrageous. And it was, it's nowhere to be justified. And with all my sympathies for the Croatian cause, and all my, also, I'm clearly for Croatia, I'm happy it's in NATO, celebrated already. But what Croatia has done during 1993 in Bosnia, there needs to be a stronger apology and a clearer kind of restitution for the crimes committed by Croatians in the name of Croatia. And the Croatians know it. If you look at the interviews also of the Croatian war leaders, they know that many things were wrong. And I'm not talking about the Operation Storm here. I'm not talking about the reconquest of Croatian territory in 95. I'm also not talking about the joint initiative in the summer, in the joint offensive backed by America in the summer of 95, which was decisive for the war. This was the result of the Washington Agreement. I'm talking about the crimes committed by Croatian sponsored and supported and also recognized kind of semi-republic of Herzeg Bosnia and their war crimes committed there in Mostar and in other places in the south east. I have now to discuss also about the geography because it's easier to understand, I think, when I explain it. The Croatians are basically living in the part of Dalmatia, and that's this long arm of Croatia alongside the Adriatic Sea. And, you know, it's basically then a kind of the attached territory in the southwest alongside Split, basically. That's a famous city, but also partly not so much as Dubrovnik, but this kind of central western part. And that is basically where most of the Croatians live. Because in geography and in history it has developed that around Sarajevo and also in the north, it's basically a diagonal population center for the Bosnian Muslims. That's the famous town of Bihać. That's basically in the bend of Croatia. If you know Croatia, looking like a horseshoe in a sense, and in the middle where Bosnia is, there is Bihać. Then Sarajevo, and towards Kosovo, towards Turkey in that direction, and there is Gorazde and Srebrenica. This were the Serbia, where the Serbs committed the major war crimes then in 95, because these were population centers of Muslims very much in towards Serbia already, and that there was around also Serbian population. So that was basically the effort to annihilate this Muslim population, which was in the perspective of the Serbian nationalists living in Serbian land and being pockets of population not fitting into their schemes. So they had to be killed. That was basically the basic logic of genocide in that year. But that came 2 years later, and that was in 95, then in July. And permanently also, but the worst atrocities came in 95 only under the watch of America and the world and the UN. Let's never forget that. And I will make a separate podcast about that one. But the start of the settlement was the 18th of March. The first effort when then Clinton recovered and understood that he is elected and in charge of the world. And that's what basically American president is. And I also make this podcast to discuss it because there's nobody else in charge. So if America is not in charge, nobody is in charge. And this has Bill Clinton and his team, they very successfully then enforced. And on 18th of March, and there is then the president of Croatia and the president of Bosnia, but also then the other actors, they were invited to Washington. And in the presence of the American president, they signed this alliance. And also they basically incorporated the so-called Federation of Bosnia. This to this day is one of the constituents, federation or entities of Bosnia today. Because later in Dayton, it was not then that the Serbian cantons and the district were joining that federation, but a separate Republika Srpska was also agreed upon in Dayton. That is a so-called issue, obviously, because I'm very much for symmetrical federalism. That means Austrian style, American style, federations, German style. It's all the same, where you have basically symmetrical rights for all constituent part of the federation, because it's not that Alaska has different rights to California. But unfortunately, this was necessary probably to end the war in Dayton. And to this day, we have many complications with the functionality of Bosnia because of that. But nevertheless, it is like it is. Yeah. There's major efforts now to change it, and it's also important to change it. I don't criticize anybody who says it's also absolutely necessary to reform the Bosnian constitutions on the basis of Dayton. But what is much more important is that Bosnia joins NATO and adopts the euro and gets the EU candidate status. Similar like in 95 or now also in 2021, we cannot just hope for perfection and postpone accession in the hope of perfection. This is the wrong approach. Conditionality as the system where we somehow create fantasies which are never to be implemented, but then go away and leave the situation as it is because we couldn't get our perfect constitution, our perfect reform, our perfect Bosnia. That is wrong. And given the situation, I think, and I repeat again what I also tweeted today, it's important that the President of America engages into the Bosnian NATO accession debate now directly, because leaving it to the Europeans will not immediately result into war. I don't say that we are not longer in the 90s, but it will lead to the exact same situation we have now, stalemate, mutual blockade, and people leaving, and the feeling of kind of being stuck. That is the situation today. And it is the same phenomenon. It's always the same phenomenon. And that's why I always say to everybody, please, and I posted it today as well, please, America, invite Bosnia to the EU candidate state. Because the logic of the 18th of March, 94, and before, in February already, the negotiations were ongoing, is the same. Everybody needs something from America. America is the country to set the European agenda, and you have to invite Bosnia to NATO, push the Europeans for EU candidate status, and also engage Serbia directly into a dialogue, also with Kosovo, but with America, with the EU, in order to get progress on all fronts, if I may say so. Because the moment it's left to slide, it will be exactly happening what happened between 91 and 94 in this moment when America power was waning because of the election year. George Bush already being very distracted with the 92 elections. The whole focus was going back into the power struggle, epic power struggle between Ross Perot and Clinton and then Clinton winning and George Bush father. The whole world was also in turmoil because of the end of the Cold War and all the consequent crises, which there were actually many. And of course, you know, there was just the Croatian War, and then there was a lack of attention. And then exactly the minor actors, what is happening, the actors on the ground, especially Croatia and Milosevic, and especially here, I have to say, Tuchman, what he let happen and what he possibly plotted for, this kind of brutality to also ethnically cleanse the Croatian parts of Bosnia and doing a lot of crimes. It's certainly unforgivable. There's no doubt about it. Despite all the things he did for Croatia itself, his policy in Bosnia is very terrible. I was in the summer now in Bosnia in 2019 and with my children. And it was very shocking still to see, to talk to people, learn about the history, and also talk with eyewitnesses who in their youth were also facing a lot of brutality. And that's something I think there should be much more humility and also contrition also from our Croatian friends when it comes to this year 93. So what exactly happened? Obviously, it was a real war. It was maybe not in complete escalation, but it was a real military confrontation. And it was the effort to ethnically cleanse and drive away the Muslims from the Croatian, and whatever, the planned Croatian territory. And that is, I think, unforgivable. Yes. And that's the situation. And America in the first year, distracted as it was, and absent in the year 93, Mr. Clinton, you might remember, he made a lot of seminars, workshops, trying to understand what exactly he was elected for. And then the actors on the ground, they obviously knew exactly who was living in which village. They had weapons from America from the 91 war. But also there was certain restraints they had. because the world was watching, everybody was complaining, and obviously also President Tudjman needed help to liberate his own occupied territories. Because as complicated as it was, major parts, especially again in the north, in the north, yes, around Bihać, this territory where the Plitvice lakes are, this territory alongside and north of the claimed Croatian territories in Bosnia, this northern territory was again occupied by Serbia since 91. That's this Republika Krajina. Additionally, eastern Slavonia and Vukovar were still occupied. So in a way, everything was completely mixed up and it was a complete mess. And he needed support for that one. And the American negotiators made it very clear, American support will be not given if this kind of confrontation against the Bosnian Muslims will be continued. And Tudjman seemingly understood. And it also was, I think, central in that the Bosnian Muslims and their army was getting gradually stronger. It was able to defend itself. And it was better armed and better equipped over time. And it was really also somehow not giving up. And that has also led to the need either to fully intervene from Croatia itself with the Croatian army massively into Bosnia, which would have, of course, isolated Croatia completely in the international community. And Tudjman, he knew that he will need the international report also for the reconquest of his own territories. And he then agreed to sign the Washington Agreement. It is internationally seen as a Bill Clinton triumph, the first triumph of peace, and Dayton the second. But with, I think, what also Alois Mock, you know, the Austrian former prime minister, who was one of the key drivers of recognition of Bosnia in 92, if the Americans would have believed him from the start and intervened more clearly and heavily from the beginning, I'm confident much of the bloodshed in 93 could have been avoided from the start. So again, it's a triumph, the 18th of March, but at the same time, it's also a kind of signal and a memorial day, first of all, for European weakness, because we were not at all effective, yeah? For American leadership, absolutely necessary, but also for the danger of an American vacuum. Because in these 18 months of American absence, a lot of people died in Bosnia. And it took a massive effort then to get everybody on the table. And it was, of course, a lot of acrimony. And it was not just done by the 18th of March. Because then the war in Bosnia from 94 went on more or less 1.5 years until Dayton in November and December. Because a similar ceremony in America was then from when it's now March 94 in December on the, it was the 14th of December in Paris, and it was in November in Dayton. So it's 1.5 years of war and with a lot of losses, and the worst of the massacres and the genocides were still to happen in the summer of 95 in the decisive years. So all in all, I think, looking back, contrary to the Kosovo intervention, when really the West was having learned from Bosnia, went much more decisively in March to June, and also more decisively by confronting Serbia directly. In Bosnia, it was a lot of vexillation, complications, going in, going out, not doing enough, sending the UN. And the most humiliating moment, it was then in May 95. There was already more Western unity, some airstrikes have started, and then the UN soldiers, mostly from the Netherlands, were taken as hostages. I mean, this is one of the most embarrassing pictures, days in May 95, and then the poor young Dutch soldiers sent there for peacekeeping. They have been taken as hostages. Again, you know, we might remember also they played a very infamous role as well in the massacres and in the genocide in Gorazde and in Srebrenica, because they were the forces to protect these enclaves, the villages of the Bosnian Muslims, and they didn't fulfill their task. So that is anyhow a specific podcast I will do about both of this hostage taking and also about the massacres and genocide in July 95. But when you think about it, also in the retrospect now, 25 years or 26 years ago, it's now 27 years ago, the 94 Washington Agreement, it should be a reminder and a kind of a signal and a symbol of American power, but also this kind of attitude to leave Europe to the Europeans is a complete failure. It's deadly. It's toxic. It is leading to this kind of outcome. And why it is, and I'm sorry to say, because I'm very convinced pro-European, but we are still to this day not ready for responsibility for Bosnia. We are too divided. We have so many different historical narratives. The ones support the Serbs, the other the Croatians, nobody the Muslims, and then we look away and we don't care, or we pretend not to care, and then we send some money and we hope everything is fine. Yeah? Obviously today the real danger of war, I don't think there is, yeah? But we should never exclude it as well, because it's also a lot of negative actors. And until a country is not full member of the alliance, it's always in threat. It's always in threat. And you can always rely on one thing, that Paris will be against enlargement. And this is a 100% guarantee on every enlargement now which will come. It is the decision of Paris to oppose all of them. And it needs American power to tackle Macron. There is no other way. We cannot wait always for new presidents in Paris to be elected. Yeah? No, no, no. He must be somehow tackled, whatever that word means. But there is no other way. Bosnia in NATO is the way for peace. And then also all the reforms can be attached afterwards. And that's, I think, the message out of this 18th of March, 94, to thank America for the leadership. But the job is just half done. And, you know, without American leadership, imagine and see some of the videos of this toxic confrontation. And it's especially striking, the one, and it's on YouTube. You can see if you Mostar Bridge 93, and you see it was actually on the day the Americans called the European Freedom Day. It was the day on the 9th of November when the Berlin Wall fell. And it was that day the Mostar Bridge was put in pieces by artillery, by Croatian artillery. I mean, as a symbol of Muslim Mostar, it was destroyed. And yeah, it's now reconstructed and it's all beautiful. But we should always think about it, I think, each 18th of March. And if now America is back, maybe it's really back also for Bosnia. And America to be back in Bosnia means NATO membership. And if we miss this opportunity again and wait for the 30s or for the 40s or for the 50s or for the next century, I don't know what should get better by that. I mean, it's 60% of Bosnians who want to join NATO. It's nobody in Paris who supports them. Without America, we are lost in Europe. And so please, I call on America, please help Bosnia in NATO. Once we are all in NATO, probably, you know, there will be less need for American leadership one day. But we will be united facing other issues. But on Bosnia, this will only work with American leadership. So please, the message of the Washington Agreement is clear. Divided, we fall. United, we win. And thanks, America, for this great effort. But we need more of it. And we need it now. America, please invite Bosnia to join NATO in 2021. And best on the 18th of March. And don't take no for an answer. No from anybody can be taken seriously. Please, it must be a yes. Thanks a lot. For NATO member Bosnia, the 31st member of the Proud Alliance of Security, that would be good. Thanks a lot. Bye.